You know?
It's a very famous name.
Okay.
Very famous name. That's why I'll keep. Okay, Lola, I will ask you. Okay. Okay, where are we?
Lamed Bav, maybe. Lola Sayyid.
We asked a big question, yeah? Me ani. No, we've done Lamed Vav.
Yeah.
We started already Perek Aleph, Lamed Tes.
Yeah.
We did Mem Dais, Atzmacho, you have to know who you are.
Mem Aleph.
Wow.
Your Dias for a chorus.
Yeah. Okay. You want to ask a question on what we did?
Until now.
Huh?
Until now.
Yeah, okay.
I heard earlier share. It was meant to be on the time of the crisis, and he says he's not going to be about that because he just doesn't know what to do. Okay. So if he doesn't know what to do, why are we learning how to do it?
You'll never Yerif Talbot talking about tefillah. You've asked him about tefillah and stuff like that, right? Very seldom Yerif talking about it. There's a chapter a little bit later, but it's not something you'll Yerif expounding on a regular basis. Yeah, where Pinkus should speak about it a lot.
He wrote a book.
He wrote the book on tefillah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Rav Talbot told me, he said like tefillah is just not something I feel terribly comfortable about talking about. I just don't feel I'm holy. I don't feel I'm, and Mustamah Yidavins beautifully, you know, but he just doesn't feel that's his thing, you know what I'm saying? So he just some things you just don't feel like you're connecting with him well enough to be able to really speak about them. So it could be that's what he means. It's just like, this is something I'm working on, I'm battling with, I'm not really so together with it, so I don't really, you know, I don't really feel like I want to talk about it. You know, he's giving us klalim and whatever, yeah, and that's it. I don't know what he means exactly, because he does talk about it quite a bit. Yeah, but that doesn't faze me at all. You won't. You find a guy who has a hard time being on time, so he's not going to be the guy that's going to go out there giving talks about, you know, being on time, because he's having a hard time himself. You know, it's hard to. It's hard to talk and share and give over things when you're kind of not holding them. That's why I don't mind. Because you're just learning, it's safer, so I can say whatever I want, even though I'm not holding, because I'm trying to get there with you guys, because that's why we're learning the safer. You know what I'm saying? But the person who wrote the safer is holding there, so let him guide us through the journey. Let's share, care, and encourage. That's if you know something, to share it. So he's sharing something. Help you along your journey, that's great. Another person might say, like, hey, I don't know how to get across that river, you know, I'm still stuck on the side of the river, you know. If somebody else, you know, has got over the river, so then, yeah, he can help you get over the river. Or he might say, look, I don't know how to get over the river, but you look more agile than me, why don't you try that? Maybe it'll work. Sometimes you can make demands on somebody else in areas that you're not capable of doing. I can demand that my son, let's say, learns 14 hours a day, even though I'm not capable of learning 14 hours a day, because he might be capable of it. The coach can always make demands on the guy he's coaching to do things that he himself can't do. That requires a sensitive coach. But to go there and talk about something which I don't feel like I'm connecting too well with, then how am I going to do that? It's be very theoretical, so you're not going to happen. You've got to, before you start sharing, you've got to feel you've got some shakers to the subject. Okay. Yedias v'akoros hakamoicho ki hakdom lekol haTorah. Knowing and coming to recognize the kamoicho, v'ater lecha kamoicho, the you, the lochem, usfatem lochem, ulakachtem lochem, the you in this whole picture, is the beginning, the introduction to the whole Torah. Means if there's no you in the picture, then there's no Torah. If the Torah is given to me, then I've got to find out who the me is before I can start grappling with the Torah. We say it every morning. We have this crisis every morning. Everybody should have the following crisis every morning. Until he's resolved and understood the sugya, you should have a crisis every morning. Because you say Birkas Hashayotza, which is a celebration of the body, And then you say Elokai Neshama, which is a celebration of your Neshama. And the crisis you should have is you should be bothered by who's saying this to these brachas. Who's talking here?
The
Guf or the Neshama. Well, it can't be either the Guf or the Neshama. Because the Guf's not praising the Guf, and the Neshama's not praising the Guf, and the Guf's not praising the Neshama. So who are they making these brachas?
Isn't one a representative
of
the other?
No. Elokai Neshama Shenosata B. Who's the B?
The Neshama.
No, the Neshama can't be saying, Hashem, the Neshama you gave me. Filer, the filer you gave me. That doesn't make any sense. Usually I thank you for something that I don't have. Like, I can thank Hashem for my tar, but if I'm a tar, I can't say, you know. So who's the B? Who's talking? You should have that crisis every morning. If you don't, you're not concentrating on what the brachas are saying. I'm celebrating my guf, because the guf doesn't want a neshama. The worst thing the guf wants, the last thing in the world the guf wants is a neshama. He wants to go back to sleep, and there's this nudnik trying to get him out of bed to go dab it.
So it's the gone.
Then who's saying Elokai neshama? Shenasata B. It's not the guf, then who is it?
Nefesh. Isn't nefesh different from the neshama and the guf?
Ah, you want to split it up into three categories or whatever? Okay, that's already
Kabbalah.
No, but no, you're right. We'll see where that fits into that system, but that's not my starting point. Do you know who it is? It's you, it's the Kamaicha. You're not a neshama, you're not a guf. You have a shaman, you have a goof. Who are you? You.
What about some?
Now you want to label it. If that makes you comfortable, you can label it. I don't want to label it. What's wrong with just calling it you? Now go discover who the you is that exists somewhere between a shaman and a goof.
What are you without this one?
Oh, now you're asking another question. What are you if you're not a shaman? Good, that's what you have to understand. Okay, good. Now you start. Now you're into the sugya. Okay, but be you should have this crisis every morning. You're either under the crisis because you resolved the crisis, or you didn't know there was a problem here. But now you know there's a problem. You better go search and discover who you are.
There are plenty more crises to deal
with. No, there's nothing more fundamental than who you are.
And it's everything else is irrelevant. To call ourselves a neshama?
You're not a neshama. You have it. Otherwise, what are you saying? A kind of neshama should not sought to be. It means I have something that was given to me called a neshama, so I can't be the neshama.
And you can't be switching between the aspects of you that is a goof and the aspects of you that are a neshama for each one. So saying that
I'm not a goof and I'm not a neshama.
But the thing that makes you unique is that you're a goof and a neshama. So a
neshama. No.
What makes a human being unique is that he has a goof and he has a neshama in a chinami.
Everyone has a goof and a neshama. So
it's not such a poshut. It's not so poshut. It's not so poshut. Everyone has a goof and a neshama. Not so poshut.
Every Jew.
Every Jew has a goof and a neshama. Yeah.
So how can we not be unique if you're all the same thing?
Of course you can be unique. I can have everyone has a house, so everyone's house looks the same. I mean, your neshama is unique to you. Your goof's unique to you. You just have to walk around and look. Everyone's got a different face, and yet we've all got exactly the same components. Our face are made up of exactly the same things, and no two people look alike. Well, with a few exceptions.
It's still not exactly.
But I'm just saying, you understand? So you can have a goof and your goof doesn't look like my goof, even though it's doing exactly the same function, same components, same makeup, same functionality, then it looks the same. It doesn't look the same. What you really are, if you ever look very carefully, you'll see that the thing that's celebrating the guf and the thing that's celebrating the neshama is you, and what are you is bechira. That's all you are. Hakol b'day shamayim chutz min shamayim. Everything comes from Hashem except your bechira, your free will. That's all a human being really is bechira, is free will. Because everything outside of your free will is not you. That's just what your goof and your neshama were programmed to do.
That was given as well.
Free will?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's given. Yeah, but Hashem gives you free will, which means it's yours to do what you want with. And we'll see. We'll see how that ties in with this whole story.
But then, how did he give it to you? He goes, take away from you.
Okay. And
which
so.
I mean, like with Pharaoh,
he
was
free will taken away. No, but that's not relevant to us. That's nice. Yeah, you're gonna. Yeah, that's nice for Pharaoh. We're not talking about that, bias. We're not talking about that. We'll see. We're gonna be dealing with that. That's probably the most important sugya we're gonna cover in the sefer. He's coming to touch with who really are, because what we really are is bechira. If you want to put it into the nefesh, ruach, neshama, marechet system, the Ramchal defines it as the nefesh is the guf. The neshama is the neshama, the higher connection to Kosh Baruch Hu, and ruach is the person, is the bechira. That's real. When the Goyen discusses it at length, that's how the Ramchal is magdia the system. It really, it's the ruach celebrating the guf, and the ruach celebrating the nesham. What you have is you have an animal and a malach, and when you put an animal and a malach together, you get a human being called bechira. It's a hybrid. We're a hybridization of what's called guf and neshama. When you put a guf together with a neshama, when you put an animal together, you put a horse together with a rider, you get a thing called bechira.
So anything that has a guf but doesn't have a neshama, by definition, doesn't have bechira. First principle.
How does Orach HaShulchan say it? He uses Lashon more das there than he does neshama, but das is a function of neshama. Das is the highest form of connection of neshama, the highest form of chibur. Look at the Agdam at the beginning of the Orach HaShulchan. He's magdil the different types of things, living things. And he's magdil the das and bechira. He goes through the different definitions of, like, an animal is not punishable because it doesn't have das. I don't think he says it doesn't have bechira. If you don't have das, you can't have bechira. That's why a child's not punished because a cotton doesn't have das. He's not ben das. I can't remember exactly how he's magdil. Have a look there. It's a very nice. Very short. I mean, the other story, the Maharal spends pages and pages and pages going through these subjects. By the time you get like 10 pages down, you've forgotten what he said. It's like very, very hard to learn. But the Imamish in 10 lines, Orach HaShulchan's magdil the whole system, very beautiful. Okay, I'm just telling you, all I'm doing this is to try and focus your attention on who we're looking for here. The most important person in the world is you. And if you don't spend some time trying to get in touch with you and find out who you are, then you're never going to be in touch with reality, and you're never going to be able to function properly. You'll never be happy. You can't be, because you're always going to be, you're just out of touch with who you really are and what your consciences are, what your tafkid is. I mean, there is nothing more important than this. This is where it starts.
That's how we're spending what is the idea of doing and not having free will and
hell. We're going to go into Bechira now. Yeah. He's going to go into. You have to. You can't understand a human being without understanding Bechira. We'll see, that was Adam Rishon, that was Abraham Avinu, that was all the major Nisonis. As you go through the flow of Chumash, you'll see it was all challenging this concept of free will. You'll see how big free will really is. But first you have to understand, before you can really come to grips with what free will is, you have to come to grips with what Akash Baruch Hu is. If you understand what Akash Baruch Hu is, you'll understand that it's impossible to have free will. Because if everything is Ratzon Hashem, then how could you ever do something outside of his Ratzon? Now you're starting to understand a greater human being, a greater Yid is.
You choose to.
Oh, I can choose to step out of his Ratzon. Right. But how can you do that? Everything is his Ratzon. That's the dilemma of Bechira.
Right.
There's nothing in the world that isn't the Ratzon Hashem. Everything is Ratzon Hashem. And yet Bechira allows you to go against that Ratzon. That's humongous. I mean, that should stop you dead in your tracks. Or you haven't understood what it means that everything is Ratzon Hashem.
I was trying to explain it brilliantly, but I
thought it sounds okay. I'm not worried about the explanations. I'm worried about getting you confused first. I want you guys dead in your tracks. I want you mobilized by these subjects. You first got to get completely, wow. When I use my Bechira to do something against the Ratzon Hashem, do you understand what that means?
It doesn't.
What?
It doesn't make sense.
Of course, it's not supposed to make sense. And yet you see it's possible. Yet you see it happens. Do you ever done something against the Ratzon Hashem?
Sure.
Oh good, so how can that be? There is nothing other than Ratzon Hashem. That's the power of Bechira. That's what Akash Baruch Hu gave us. That's the gift Hashem gave a human being.
Because also that which you think is against Hashem is really somehow...
Then you don't have Bechira. No, then it's just a joke. Then you don't have Bechira. Real Bechira means that I can choose to go against the Ratzon Hashem. Really. Not just it's a charade. Hashem kind of lets you think you've got Bechira. Then I don't have Bechira. And the basic yisod of all Yiddishkeit is that I have Bechira. In order to have Bechira, I have to be able to go against the Ratzon Hashem. That's impossible. Okay. That's what Adam Rishon's struggle was. Why do you think Adam Rishon destroyed the world? He wanted to see whether he really had Bechira or not. He really wanted to check whether he had Bechira or not. Hashem said, yeah, you have Bechira. Nah, it's all just a joke, it's not real. Hashem said, you have Bechira. Eat from the Eitz Hadas or don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So he ate from the Eitz Hadas and he realized he has Bechira. You can actually step out of reality. You have that choice. You can step out of a Kosh Bochus reality. That's it's not so possible to understand, but we see that it happens. Okay, let's learn the sugars and we'll understand it a bit clearer. As you get into it more and more and more and more, you see it starts making a little bit of sense. This is the Mishnah of Hillel HaZaken and Rebbe Akiva. Hillel HaZaken omer lo eis goy shibol his gaya, when the goy came to his gaya. What did Hillel, you wanted to learn the whole Torah standing on one leg, right? You all know the story. So Hillel, what did Hillel say to him? Ki kol ha-Torah kulu ha-regel achasi ma ba'alecha sa'ani l'chavercha lo tavid, that which is hateful to you, that which you despise, don't do it to your friend. Which is a good thing to know. It's a useful phrase to walk around with. But you don't like, so don't do it to somebody else. Rebbe Akiva Amar Yosod Nosef. Rebbe Akiva said it in the positive aspect. You have to love Reyecho like yourself. This Rashi is worthwhile taking out and looking at inside and remembering this Rashi, because it's big news to anybody who hasn't heard this Rashi. Re'echa v're'o vika al tazov. Your friend and the friend of your father, don't leave. Says Rashi, Re'echa ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'after Re'echa kamoicha, who's your best friend? Says Rashi, it's talking about Hashem. That's V'after Re'echa kamoicha. Al Tavu al Dvarov, don't disobey his word. Sharei Alecha, Sinoi Shiyavu Chavecha al Dvarecha. Because in the same way you hate it, you don't like it when people don't listen to you and don't do what you ask them to do, so too, don't you go against Hashem's words, because he's your friend. It means don't do what you find hateful, don't do to somebody else. So just like you find it hateful when people don't listen to you, yeah, people that are supposed to listen to you, they don't listen to you, so then also you better listen to Hashem. That's Hillel's pshat. Loshen acher, chavecha mamash, different way of learning, another pshat. No, your friend mamash, kagon gazela, gneiva, niu, ferova, mitzvahs, lahana, niva, esadvorim. It's mamash, you don't want, you like being stolen from. No, so then don't steal from your friend. You don't like being flattered, so don't flatter. You know, whatever all the things are that you don't like having done to you, you don't like people doing to you, don't do to your fellow man. But the pshat on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mayudik. The same way as you don't like that then people don't listen to you, so then Hashem, so don't do that to Hashem. Listen to him. Okay, let's try and explain these words. Kol HaTorah Kulu HaRegel Achas Kulu B'Mitzvah V'After Recha Kamoicha. The whole Torah in one, you can say on one, when you're standing on one leg, how can you stand on one leg for? Not very long. You can summarize the Torah into one concept. Kamoicha ben adam la'atzmai. What's the kamoicha? It says after recha kamoicha. That's ben adam la'atzmai. Re'echa ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben adam l'makom. Re'echa ze chavecha ben adam l'chaveiroi. That's the whole Torah. V'hafta l'recha kamoicha. Kamoicha is you. Re'echa is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and if you want to keep the whole Torah, everybody here wants to keep the whole Torah. At some stage of your life, you must have had some desire that I want to keep the whole Torah. Even if it's just for one day. Just to keep the whole Torah. Do you know what that means? As you want to keep the whole Torah. Now, Kluba mitzvah after Recha Kamecha. So, included, the whole Torah is included. Mitzvah after Recha Kamecha. Techil alen adas, mihua kamecha. So, where do you start? There's only one place you can start. Kamaicha. In law novin zos hativ, if you don't understand good who you are, la nocha lakaim et mitzvah to rechamaicha, umavayla nye rechaikim mikol inyan et toirah haklunim b'inyan zeh. If you don't understand the kamaicha of vat rechamaicha, you can't makaim vat rechamaicha. And that the whole Torah is included in that. It means you're far, far, far from the whole Torah. Ah, but I shake lulav and I put on tefillin and... Yeah, you do. That's it, it's not so partial. That's a pashut. Okay, the most amazing, amazing piece of Shimon Shkopia. This is a Litvish Rosh Yeshiva. It's not a Hasidish Rebbe. This mamish. This is. You ever learned some of Reb Shimon's Torahs on Chazal on Shas? You'll see. This is mamish Litvish. You know, analytical, litvish Rosh Hashiva. Look, look, look. Hasidim think they've got it all. Hagoyin of Shuman Shkops, that's all. He's Koyin. Melamed Otanu Bagdoma Sifre Shari Yosha. In that Dhamma to Yosefus, Shari Yosha. Shavu Pishu Bekivu Hubal Hamaimra, Vahafter Recha Kamoicha. Despite the fact that Rebbe Kiva is the Baal HaMeimra, the person who said it, but it's more than just the person who said it. When Chazal, when Tanoim said something, it means it was them. Why did he say it and not anyone else?
Because
it was his. You know what Aliba means? Rubelitsky ever sorry, teach you this?
According to.
But what it really means is, look at the word, Medaktim say Aliba, on the lave of. Aliba to Rabbi Akiva means this was so much part of Rabbi Akiva that he could say it. Mm. Not just Rabbi Akiva happened to say it. Any Tana could have said, wait, the other Tana didn't believe that. Of course, everybody agreed. You don't see anybody arguing. Any Tana could have said it. Why did Rabbi Akiva said it? Because it was Aliba. It was his. He'd made it his own. You go through the whole Pirkei Avos like that. The Maharal in the Dhamma to Pirkei Avos explains this idea that Tana said it because that Tana represented, he was the prototype of that concept. That's why he brought it into the world. Yeah? So when it says the Baal HaMeimra, it doesn't just mean that he's the guy that said it. It means the Baal, he owned it, it was his. Who called over to him? Mikol Mokom, who's there should say Masechtas Baba Metzia? Oh, now listen to this. There are two people going on a walk. One of them's got a bottle of water. They get stuck out in the desert somewhere. You and your friend, you go for a walk. You got a bottle of water. He's got nothing. He didn't listen to the Rebbe, where the Rebbe said, if you're going for a hike, take lots of water with you, right? So he didn't take. So if they both drink, both are going to die. There's not enough water to keep both of them alive. If one of them will drink, he'll survive, and the other guy will die for sure. So what do you do with the water? You know this Gemara.
Yeah.
The person who owns the water, he drinks, another guy dies. Why? Rabbi Kiva, yeah, comes the Gevaldike Chiddush. Chayecha Koidmin. Klal Halil Maposuk V'Chayachicha Imcha. Imoch. And you will live with your friend, you will live. Chayecha koin, that's Rabbi Kiva's Chiddush. So on the one hand, Rabbi Kiva says the klal v'ahavterecha kamoicha. You have to love your friend like you love yourself. And on the other hand, this friend that you have to love like yourself, you drink the water and he dies. I mean, everybody has learned enough Gemara to know that that's kind of that's difficult. Do you have a kasha? Klal Godel Limud Otani Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva teaches a Gevaldike Klalia. V'after Arecha, Einu Mamayit Es Chashivus HaKamoicha. V'after Arecha doesn't take away anything from the Kamoicha. Chayecha Koyimim. Nevertheless, your life comes first. I've only got to love your friend like you love yourself. It doesn't take away from the fact that yourself comes first. Yesh Ledoig L'Kiyum Shel HaKamoicha. A person has to take responsibility for the Kiyum, for the continued existence of the Kamoicha. Afterwards, there's room for v'after arecha. And more than that, knowing this kamoicha and the after of the kamoicha, loving this kamoicha, that's the beginning of all the Torah. Ulam aneinu leomoy v'after atzmis mai. However, we've got to find out what this love of myself is. Avas gufoy hi achen ever nagaf. Loving yourself is a—it's a figure of speech. That's exactly what it means. It's loving yourself, loving your goof, loving yourself is a despicable thing. Aval avas ha'adam es nishmosay hi even pina la'alisa haruchnius. Loving your goof and going after the tithes of goof and going after what the body wants—that's despicable. Ze even negef. I don't know what the figure of speech is.
Obstacle.
It's an obstacle.
That's what it means.
As an obstacle, okay. Nagaf, yep. However, a person loves his neshama, yeah, that's the cornerstone of growing in spirituality. In order to clarify and lighten this particular subject, this fundamental subject, Shua Bosis Shel Svareinu, which is the basis of our sefer, the one we're learning, but Kilasa, Beshaydis, Pshutois, Vyasaydis. Let's ask a very simple question here. Shailas Shirabi Metanu Shaila Otan Esatzman. We ask this question to ourselves all the time, hopefully. But we've never really followed it through to come to a real shalom answer to this. They remain confused in darkness, whatever, clouded. These questions, they're always there. They keep coming. That's from Gorillas. That means they keep coming back. They're in our face. You've got to deal with it. It's a combination of what he's saying, what you say. It's because they keep Gorillas. They keep turning. They keep coming back. That you've got to deal with them. That means they're. What's the word? They're
recurring?
Impending. Yeah, they're always there. We have to. It's incumbent upon us to check out very, very well and discover whether we're very, very clear with who am I? Mi anu? Who are we? Who am I? Abu Aizi Matara Nivranu. To what purpose was I created? What am I here for? Ma'u tafkidainu, and what's my purpose in this world? That's bosses. If they remain confused and they're not mamash clear, clarified in their mouth, we're making sour a large part of the goal, the purpose of what we're living for. You'll never get proper simcha, because proper simcha is doing what you're supposed to do. And if you don't know what you're supposed to do, because you don't know who you are, you don't know what your goals are, you don't know what your job is, so where are you ever going to get real simcha from? It's only a very clear understanding of who a person is that nurtures and gives a person real simcha. If a person would meditate seriously, sit down and really do some deep thinking about his physical life, we would conduct ourselves in a way that is similar to the his nahaluseinu, the conduct, the schedule, yeah, the way a person conducts his life in the spiritual way. Lo yala la das she adam yiftach beit chereshes, lo tachnis mesuderes, ma vaketed yitzresham. A person doesn't open up a factory before he decides what he's going to make. Guys, I want to open a factory. What kind of factory are you going to make? I don't know, I want a factory. Yeah, but what are you going to make? I don't know, just give me the machines. Yeah, but what do you want to produce? Doesn't matter, just put in a machine. I want a factory. My friend's got a factory, I want a factory. You know? So you get a job working for Egged as a bus driver, yeah? Chasfa Khalila. But now, whatever, you get a job as a bus driver. You arrive on your first day of work, and the guy gives you a bus, and he gives you the keys to the bus, and he says, go. You say to him, yeah, but which maslu, what number, which cav, where, you know, where am I going? He says, it doesn't matter, just go. So the guy, you're nuts, I mean, I need to go. He says, just go.
It's
very
good.
Yeah.
Isn't that
hard? Good, so you understand, you're not going to get anywhere. You can't run a business like that. You have to know what your goal is, you have to know what your maslu is, what you're trying to achieve here. Otherwise, how are you going to work it out? In every aspect of our lives, we agree that there's a purpose, and that we have to plan, and that we have to know what we're trying to achieve.
Hmm.
No one would go looking for a job if you know what kind of job. I mean, you're looking for a job. What kind of job are you looking for? I don't know. You go to the manpower department. You say to the guy. He says, "What are you doing here?" You say, "I don't know. Whatever. Like I'm yeah." He says, "You're looking for a job." Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. What kind of job are you looking for? I don't know. What are you good at? I don't know. Well, like, you know what? I don't know. I mean, you understand that that's mashuga. Nobody would go for a job interview, not knowing like a little bit about who he is and what he has to offer the company and what he's good at. You don't go apply for a job as a banker and the guy says, "No, what about you know, how's your maths?" Nah, stinks. Accountancy background? No, nothing. What are you good at? Gardening. That's my big thing. So what are you looking for a job in the bank as an accountant for? You understand? You understand? That's posh, right? I mean, it sounds ludicrous, but when it comes to our spiritual lives, that's what you do, unfortunately. Chaim the Lord Beirus, the Lord Beirah Dvarim, a Taim Nechshavim, the Pshitas Regal Brura, the Kachaim Pnei Advarim Gambruchnius. Without clarity and without an explanation, without really clarifying what we're thinking about, the simple approach to our lives, that has to be applied in the Ruchnius as well. That a person has to know where he's going. You can't just you go, "Where are you going?" You know, "I'm an Egged bus driver, I don't know where I'm going." So that's what happens. We understand in physicality that's ludicrous. That's completely batty, right? And you try and tell your parents that, you know, well, for 6 months you're going to learn Torah, and they want to know, well, what for? You're going to become a rabbi? He's only going to become a rabbi, they're fine with that, because that's obvious, that's good. But no, I'm learning for the sake of learning. Understand? That's nuts. You know, you're doing something, you have a reason for doing it. You have a goal, you have a plan, you know where you're going. You go for a job interview because you're trying to get a job. Not because the air you know, it's hot outside and they've got air conditioning, so you know, you popped in. Yeah? You don't write your SASTs or whatever it is that you have to do these. Don't have to. Why? Well, I want to be a lifeguard. You don't have to write. You don't need A levels to be a lifeguard. You need to learn how to swim. No, I don't know how to swim, but I've got straight A's in botany, so I think I could be a lifeguard. So in the Ruchness, how are you gonna? Does that make sense? We contradict ourselves. Nobody here will turn around and say, "No, you don't need goals in life. You can just wander around and you'll get there. You'll be fine. Everything will be chilled." You know that doesn't work, right? So how come in Ruchnius we accept that?
What do you mean? What is it that we accept that lack of, that we don't know the answer to what my tafkid is?
Yeah, what am I living for? Who am I? What am I living for? What is my tafkid? What's my job? Everybody's worked through and has made clear and has accepted upon their hearts the first paragraph of the Maseilas Yesharim.
Here to work.
And to what I should put all my koichuses and whatever for all the rest of the days of my life. Yeah, everyone's got that clear. You know what your mission statement is, and you're in a way busy achieving it. Yeah, well, you have a mission statement, right? The most insignificant physical endeavors in our lives, you start with a mission statement. Correct? You're opening up a little business. You're doing this. You have a mission statement. But our own lives, which are the biggest businesses that we're ever going to run, the only business that mean anything really, yeah, because they're the real thing. Everything else is just a means to an end. This is the end in itself. That business we don't have a mission statement for. We don't have an accountant. We don't have a lawyer. We don't have a. That we'll leave to chance. Hashem Yazor. Hashem Yazor. I'm a Baal B'Tochen when it comes to Ruchnias. Money. You have to. The mind's not falling. If you've got to work. And understand what I have to do. The goof understands what it has to do. But then if it comes to the Ruchnias, we get confused. I mean, this is a person has to, this is supposed to stop you in your tracks.
Why is that the case? Why is it when it comes to Ruchnias? Because it's, we don't see it immediately?
That's because we don't know who we are. We've been so conditioned and so well trained into thinking that we know what we're supposed to do. Go to school, get a job, make money, get married, buy a house, pay off your mortgage, and then set your kids up for the same wonderful path. Because Tats once defined it as a machine that oils itself. It's the most sophisticated piece of electronic technology that was ever invented. The machine is totally self-maintaining. You don't have to touch this machine ever. Comes with a lifetime guarantee. Needs no oil, no maintenance. You don't have to tighten any screws. This thing will run forever, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with absolutely no maintenance. Okay? So what does it make? Nothing, but you never have to oil it. Would you buy a machine like that? I mean, on the one hand, it's like it's amazing. It's the most unbelievable piece of it, of engineering. It doesn't produce anything. That's what we are. You're working. Why are you working? Well, because you're going to make a living. Well, you have to make a living because you have to eat, you have to live. So what are you living for? You eating to live or living to eat? You know, people get offended when you ask them that question. You think I'm a behemoth? What do you think, I'm living to eat? Because I'm eating to live. No, so what are you living for? Well, to work. So that I can make money, so that I can eat, so that I can go back to work, so that I can... I mean, this is a machine that's oiling itself, but it doesn't produce anything. Yeah, I mean, at some point you've got to pull the plug on that conditioning. We were well conditioned along those paths.
How does one uncondition their conditioning?
Well, kind of good morning. That's why we're here. That's what the shiur is. By discovering who you really are, by coming to learn what this machine really is supposed to produce, yeah, that will help you to start redefining and redirecting what your goals in life are and what your purpose is and how to go about achieving it.
What's someone saying, I just want to enjoy life? I just want to enjoy because of the life.
I was put in this world just to enjoy life.
Yeah, I see someone arguing. I
don't know if someone arguing. There's no somebody's arguing. This is a practical class.
Okay,
you want to argue? Argue. Don't play devil's advocate. If that's what's bothering you, I'm happy to deal with it. This is not a Kiruv training course.
No. I'm saying.
In other words, we're not. When you're out there, before you got the Kiruv, you have to learn how to answer these questions. But right now, you've got to be able to deal with yourself first of all. This class is about getting in touch with yourself.
Let yourself say, "I just want to enjoy the pleasure of life. Hashem gave me a beautiful life. I want to enjoy it."
Okay. For what purpose?
Because
so like what
I have senses to.
Well,
I have ears. I have taste. I would like to spend my life.
That's what Hashem created you for.
No, clearly not.
Clearly not. So, do you want to do what Hashem wants you to do? You want to do what you want to do.
But all we do is to enjoy his world.
I don't know we were created for pleasure. There's no question we were created for pleasure. The Maseilas Yesharim tells you that. That's the frumest book of them all. And he says that you're here for pleasure. Good, but Torah tuned pleasure. So, good, so let's find out. Maybe that's what I am here for. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm here just to enjoy myself. Who says kosher? I don't know. I'm coming in here knowing nothing. My premise here is I don't know who I am. I don't know what my goals are. I don't know what it's created for. Could be right. I want to hear what he has to say. Let's see what he says. When I look at myself and I understand myself better and I look at the human condition, we see that everything we do is based on the pleasure principle. Every decision we make is made either to have pleasure or not to have pleasure, to avoid non-pleasure and to get pleasure. Avada, everything's based on that. But for what end? What goal? Why did Hashem create us like that? That's what we have to find out. If you don't know who you are and you don't know what your goal is, you're like the guy that goes into the work employment agency and asks for a job and you don't even know what, you know, you're at the Investec bank and then you're a botanist.